All right, let's get to the Friday footy preview. Brent Harvey joins us, the AFL Games record holder. He's a champ from the Kangaroos, and he's with us on a Friday morning. Good morning, Boomer.
Good morning, boys. Hope you've had a good week.
Had a very good week. Thank you very much. Great to have you with us. Are you sort of got your wits about you? Do you know where you are in the rounds and the games, or are you losing track?
No, I am losing track. I'm in a little tipping competition with a couple of mates, and they send a text message on a Thursday or something and say, don't forget to put your tips in. And then next week it's on a Tuesday. Don't forget to put your tips in. I'm thinking, I just did it 3 days ago, but it's coming around so quick, half, and it's footy, isn't it? I know there's 33 games in 20 days, but, gee, there's a lot on. And what makes it really interesting is the double headers on a Wednesday night or a Thursday night.
Yeah.
That sort of throws you out a bit as well. I would have loved to see the double header on a Friday night tonight, but I'm not the scheduler. I don't schedule the fixture, do I?
Well, there's only one game for the round tonight, so that's interesting. It's the last game of the round, Essendon and the Giants, which we'll talk about shortly, and will be the focus of the Friday face-off too, just by the way, which, of course, I'm leading convincingly at the moment. Don't go too deep into it. But we start round 11 tomorrow. Boone, what are you hearing out of the hubs and out of the Kangaroos at the moment with the way the players are coping with the reduced breaks, the 4 and 5 day breaks that we're experiencing at the moment?
Yeah, it's a weird one, isn't it? Because the Kangas have come off a 4 day break into a 4 day break as well. So there's no doubt that you're seeing players going to be rested. And we spoke a couple of weeks ago, maybe the NBA system, where if you're up by 30 points or down by 30 points, you maybe bring off your gun players for the second half of the last quarter. And I think you're going to have to see that start happening very, very shortly, if not tonight, tomorrow night, etc. It's certainly going to take a toll. I can remember playing, and when you come off a 6 day break into a 6 day break, everybody used to complain. Or two games.
Yeah, that's right.
Two games at Etihad Stadium. Everyone say, "Oh, I don't know how I'm going to pull up from that." Well, please give me a spell, because you're coming off a 4 day break into a 4 day break, and you better get used to it, boys. You've got about 8 or 9 weeks to go, and suck it up, because it's going to be a tough little period for you.
You're right. 6 days into 6 days used to cause absolute chaos, didn't it? Now you've got 4 days into 4 days. You just got to find a way.
Yeah, you know what it is? Mentally, though, mentally, when you had a 7 or an 8 day break and you got to a Wednesday and you still weren't on your main session, mentally it told you had 2 days extra to recover. And then when you played on a 5 day break or a 6 day break, by Tuesday, you're nearly ready to go, because mentally, your brain's told you, you've got to recover. You've got to do this. You've got to get better sleep. You've got to stay in the ice baths for an extra 10 minutes, and then you're ready to go. So mentally, it does affect you. And I'm sure the coaches have set it in place where mentally you're just going to have to get around it and just stop saying, oh, we've come off a 4 day break into a 4 day break. Because if you do that mentally, it actually wears you down physically, I reckon. So I think mentally would be a big part of it.
So, Rama, is that why we're seeing the more experienced teams going so well, or going better at this stage of the season? Because there is that experience benefit and the mental edge in understanding just things you need to do, rather than being a young team and not really knowing who's who in the zoo, let alone your spot in the system. But these experienced teams have got players that have been around a while and can deal with the challenges outside of the physical challenges?
Yeah, and Boomer makes a good point. I think they're just getting on with it. They understand, okay, what it is. So they know their body really well. They know what type of recovery they need as an individual, and they're just getting on with it. So I think we all understand the circumstances of why this is happening. I'm finding it quite exciting, to be honest with you, to see how teams react to these situations. The NBA style of taking players off the court, it's probably where the coaches wanted a couple more on the bench, so they could do that. Like, with four on the bench, there's probably another 3, 4, 5 players that you still want to take off the ground when the game gets out of reach or you're too far ahead. So that's where the coaches did push for that. But yeah, the issue still is, half, and I think what clubs are still very, very conscious of is, because of the part of the season we're in, is trying to limit the injuries still. And obviously we saw last night with a re-injury to Adam Treloar with the hamstring. I know it was his quad, but he's hurt another part of his body because of the limited preparation that he had coming into these games. Now, Collingwood travel again, so they're travelling again off a short break. So what do Collingwood do with their team now moving forward? Because I still think the next part I know we've got round 13 already, but I still think the season's going to be compressed again. They're just going to want to push these games out. So if a guy does a hamstring, which is usually, you know, 21 days or whatever they say now, that's not 4 weeks. That's potentially six games. So clubs have got to be really, really mindful of the actual load they're putting into each player each week.
So we'll be seeing a few more managed players next couple of weeks, do you reckon?
Yeah, no doubt. Absolutely no doubt. So that's the fine line, half, and Whitey here. Do you say to the team, okay, rather than managing three or four players over the next couple of weeks, we're going to manage 10 players because we want those 10 players to have an actual 7-day break, a normal break where they can do a normal recovery, a normal training week to get themselves up and firing rather than have three players come out, manage another three players the next game. Have a chunk, pick a game where you go, okay, we're just going to have to roll the team over this week completely to give our absolute stars the rest that they require.
But this is the beauty of what Geelong's being able to do, and I think Chris Scott and his coaching team have got to be given a lot of credit, that they're resting players in games. So Patrick Dangerfield now in the last four games has just played out of the goal square next to Tom Hawkins and only went into the centre bounce in that last quarter for 10 minutes when the game got a bit tight. So I think that's going to be as much the management of players as them not playing at all. How can actually manage their game time so they stay out of the cut and thrust of the contest to keep themselves as fresh as possible and get them playing every week?
That's got risk associated with it, Boomer, though, because you have Dangerfield coming out of the goal square. The amount of high-intensity running that he has to do makes him more susceptible to those hamstring type of injuries because he's bursting. Because a lot of the time you'd be standing around, then all of a sudden you see him on a burst lead.
Oh, no, Ramon's just dropped out. He's just dropped out. He's going to come back in shortly, but his point's well made.
I can pick up from there because he's talking about aerobic versus anaerobic performance, and Dangerfield's a power athlete, but he's got a great endurance base. So he can run around at a 60% intensity the whole day, but when he's forward, he won't be going at 60% because the ball will come down there every 2 or 3 minutes. So he'll be going at 100%, and that's what he's talking about, the hamstrings and the injury rate at the minute with all those injuries. So that's exactly what Ram is saying.
So we're about halfway through this almost experiment of the footy frenzy of playing footy every day. And I've been big on the fact that if the AFL, in an ideal world, they would have this in a normal season, in the middle part of the year, where teams could have their buys, but you could have a situation where through a school holiday period in the middle of winter, potentially, you could have footy on every night. So what is, I think everyone's doing at the moment is they're just doing case studies on what works and what doesn't work. Now, if players continue to get injuries and we have a situation where teams just can't put out even close to their best teams, or teams have their finals chances dashed or premiership chances dashed because they've lost too many players, well, we can't do it moving forward because it's unsustainable. But, gee, if they can find a way to make it work, I think it's something we could see on a more regular basis.
Whitey, I absolutely love that idea. I love it. Where that bye period is and it gets a little bit stagnant and everyone goes, oh, I might not watch footy just this week. You compact it and you do your five games in five days, but the other guys are having a bye around you, so you've always got footy. I really like that. The other thing I'd love the AFL to do now is step in and just look after the welfare of the players. And Rama touched on it before, just around extra people on the bench. If we continue to see the trend of hamstrings and quads, soft tissue injuries, etc., there's no reason why the AFL can't come in and say, rightio, for the next 6 weeks, we're going to give you six on the interchange, just so you can rest and maintain those players and they're not going at 100% for 6 weeks in a row. And the last point, I think the value of winning right now through this middle period of the season, because we know what happens in the regular season, in the normal season, is you get to round 20, 21, 22, 23, and you can rest those players. But now, if you're not in a position to do that, because you want to make finals, you can't rest your guns. So the importance of winning these games in the middle part of the season is super, super important.
Seemingly, we'll see how it unfolds in the future, but certainly a very important part of the season, and one of those important games is tonight, boys. Let's have a look at the Friday night game. It's the Giants and the Bombers, or the Bombers and the Giants, depending on which way you want to see. The home team officially is the Giants at Metricon Stadium tonight. So check your local guides for times and that type of thing. Got four ins for the Bombers. McKenna, Langford, Guelphy and McKernan come in for Ham, Gleeson, Kale and Big Tom. Bell Chambers has been managed. For the Giants, Callum Ward, Mumford and Xavier O'Halloran come in for Matt De Boer, Sam Jacobs, who's managed, and Toby Green, who's injured, and it will be a blow for the Giants not being there. Boomer, they come off a couple of wins, the Giants, over the Tigers and the Suns. The Bombers got mauled by the Lions last weekend. What are you expecting tonight and Friday night footy?
Yeah, I might start with the Bombers because they were bitterly disappointing last week. We spoke on this segment about Essendon not being able to kick enough goals. Well, in the end, they kicked three goals. They come from Parrish kicked one, and I think who kicked two goals for the Bombers last week? It was another midfielder. Devin Smith kicked two. I think, and Parrish kicked one. So they got no goals from their tall forwards. I know McKernan comes back into the team tonight, but he's probably going to have to play ruck with Bell Chambers out. And 28 points to 91. Brisbane had 37 inside 50s to Essendon's 41. So it wasn't a lack of getting the ball inside 50. It was just a lack of getting it to a forward and being able to kick a score. So for me, it's going to be the Giants all over. I'm spewing Toby Greens out because I love watching him play. He's nearly my favourite player in the competition to watch. He's an angry little ant, but I'll tell you what, he can back it up on the field. He's a star. Gold Coast last week let the Giants whip the top seven possession winners were Whitfield, Kelly, Hopper, Williams, Taranto, Coniglio and Perryman. Now, if any team lets the Giants do that, they win the flag for me because that's 142 possessions between the top seven on the field and they're their best players. So Essendon have to negate their midfield, and if you get on top of their midfield, Dylan Shea will be licking his lips with Matt De Boer out, no doubt. Yes. A couple of the Essendon backs will be licking their lips with Toby Green out. So they're a little sniff Essendon just because they need to bounce back. I still don't know where they're going to kick their goals from. They can't rely on their midfielders to kick all their goals. So for me, it's a Giants onslaught if the midfield continues to play like they do.
So you're a close Essendon watcher, Whitey, more than others, more than most, in fact, I reckon, on the planet. How do they beat the Giants tonight, considering, as Boomer said, they let the Brisbane Lions mauled them last week, and from an efficiency perspective as well, not being able to stop their entries and the way they brought the ball forward in their forward half. How do they stop the Giants tonight?
Well, I'm like Boomer. They've got to find a way to score. Now, the thing about this game is that the Giants have also struggled to score. And what is keeping Essendon in a lot of games recently is their good defence. Now, On gut feel, you'd say Essendon are out of form, but you look at their last six, they're three wins and three losses. They kicked that last goal against Carlton, they would have been 4-2. So the problem for the Bombers is that two of their last three games, they've been dreadful. They were terrible last week against Brisbane, and they weren't much better against the Bulldogs. And the other game was a win against Adelaide, which is no currency at all, particularly considering they only just got over the line. So I don't think they're playing well enough to beat the Giants, and I think the Giants are building. They're still a long way off their best. They too need to hit the scoreboard a little bit more. But when you just compare, I think the Giants have got a better midfield narrowly, but if you look at the big difference in this game, just looking at the forward line of the Giants compared to the forward line of Essendon, I think that's where the game's going to be won, and I think the Giants will win and win quite well.
I think Rammer's back with us. Rammer, the Bombers tonight?
I think they're a chance tonight. Obviously, with Toby Green being out of the team, he's the Giants' most dangerous forward. So what that does then allow is McKenna coming back into the team and Saad that extra run, which I think is really, really important for the Bombers, because when those two run, Essendon become really unpredictable. And I think that's really important for the way Essendon play. And those two actually deliver the ball into the forward line with their foot skills. So I agree with Whitey. The Essendon's trouble at the moment is their forward line and the way it's functioning. But it is what it is. They don't have any other soldiers really to choose from. So they've got to make do with what they've got down there. Sean McKernan comes back in to take a mark. And Kyle Langford was actually pretty good there against Adelaide when he played forward. So the midfields match up okay. I think McGrath's now a real bona fide midfielder within the competition, the way he's gone about it this year. I like his work in close. He uses the ball well. He doesn't panic, which I like. So the big thing for tonight's game, for Essendon, it's to play with dare and dash, but also pressure. They applied no pressure last week. It was last Friday against Brisbane. But the Giants, it's their ball movement. The Giants have got to have dare with their ball movement. If they don't, they become a really predictable and easy side to play against. Essendon's key defenders are quite good and capable, so they should be able to look after the Giants forwards if they don't move the ball quickly.
Who's winning, Rama?
The Giants just.
Whitey?
Giants.
Boomer?
Giants for me.
Giants for me as well. I don't think the Bombers are going anywhere near well enough to win that game. What we'll do is we'll get to a break. We'll come back, go through some of the other games across the weekend. It's round 11 tomorrow. Go through some of those games quickly and get involved in the Friday face-off. If you haven't registered to be a part of the face-off, straight to the website rsn.net.au and you can win yourself a $100 voucher for Ribera's at Swallows. Simply the best and freshest seafood available. More on the Friday footy preview with Boomer Harvey after this. Yes, love a bit of Breakfast Club activity on a Friday morning. Boomer Harvey with us on the Friday footy preview. Boys, we're just going to tip the next round of games, all right? So I just need some tips for you. It starts tomorrow and it finishes next Wednesday night, but we won't be back together until next Friday, of course. So let's tip the next round of games. Port Adelaide and Richmond, Boomer, beauty tomorrow at the Adelaide Oval.
Wow, good game. I think Richmond have to drop a game sooner or later. I like the way Port are going. Port for me.
Port, Whitey?
I'm very keen on Richmond. I don't think Port Adelaide's good enough to beat Richmond.
Romanescu.
Tigers.
Tigers, man. That one. The Lions host the Bulldogs. Another entertaining affair at the Gabba tomorrow night. Rama?
Lions.
Whitey?
Brisbane.
Boomer.
Brisbane.
Brisbane for me in that one. The West Coast Eagles host Carlton at Optus Stadium on Sunday. I'm tipping the Eagles, Rama.
Yes, Eagles.
Anyone not tipping the Eagles? How about that?
Nah, Eagles.
Melbourne and Eagles. North is interesting on Sunday as well. The Adelaide Oval, interesting place for it. Boomer, can the Kangas?
Yeah, of course the Kangas can win. They can win every single week, Daniel. You know that. I'm sticking with the Kangas.
Righto, Whitey.
Melbourne, our team, Daniel. Our team.
Rama?
Yeah, D's.
D's for me in that one. St Kilda and Geelong on Monday night's going to be a corker, Rama.
Geelong.
Whitey?
Geelong.
Boomer.
Where's that at, Daniel?
That's at the Gabba.
That's at the Gabba. I'm going to go to the Saints. I really like what they're doing.
I'm with you. I'm on the Saints wagon there. Saints can win that one. Freo and Hawthorn. Boomer.
I'm going to go with the Hawks. The Hawks bounce back. They're just starting to find their mojo a little bit.
I'm with you. Whitey.
Hawthorn.
Rama.
Hurry up.
Hawthorn.
All right, two quick ones. We've got Adelaide, Collingwood, and Gold Coast, Essendon. I'm going for Collingwood and the Suns. Rama?
I'll go with Collingwood and the Bombers.
Collingwood and the Bombers. Whitey?
Collingwood Suns.
And Boomer?
Collingwood Suns.
All right, that's the tips for round 11 from the panel on the Friday Footy Preview. Let's get to the Friday face-off. I won last week. The winner is going to win this.
The Breakfast Club's face-off for Ribera's in Port Melbourne for simply sensational seafood dining. Tomorrow's menu is still swimming.
$100 voucher from Ribera's at Swallows coming your way. If you win, register at the website rsn.net.au. I get to go last. I think, Whitey, you're first. And we're going for kicks, by the way, tonight. Friday night footy. Kicks, number of kicks.
Oh, thanks for that. Thanks for that. No worries.
You blokes do it to me every week. I'm still able to get winners.
Okay, I'll go with Lockie Whitfield.
Lockie Whitfield for Whitey first up. Good luck to you. You're playing for Jim Taylor from Grovedale as well. Good luck to you, Jim. Boomer or Rama, who is it next?
It must be me.
Rama, yes.
Is Zach Williams playing tonight?
No, he's not.
Yes, he's not.
I'll take Zach Williams.
Zach Williams for Rama. Good luck to you, Rama. You're playing for Mick Slattery from Mordialloc. Good luck to you, Mick. Boomer, you're playing for Peter Kane from Ballarat. Who are you taking?
Yeah, I'm going to go with a good Peninsula boy, Nick Haynes.
Nick Haynes, you mongrel. That was one I was going to take. That's a good one. You mongrel. Real mongrel activity.
Boomer just
is.
Goes off averages every time.
That's all right. He's going to get one eventually.
I had 30 seconds to prepare for that one.
So it's for Peter Kane in Ballarat. You've got Nick Haynes. And we're going most kicks. Well, there's only one player you want when you've got most kicks in these sort of scenarios. Look,
come on, stop padding, mate.
You know what it's like. It's Heath Shaw every day of the week. Heath Shaw for the Giants will get most kicks tonight. So we'll take Heath on for the Friday footy preview. Friday face-off, $100 voucher for Ribeiras and Swallows up for grabs. That's it for us. Boomer, have a great weekend. Look forward to chatting to you after another busy week in footy next Friday morning.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it, boys. Have a good one.
Good stuff.